Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life.
The Word of God, and turn with me to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus and chapter number 19. The book of Exodus and chapter number 19. We're in a Sunday school series of the treasures in darkness. That sometimes the worst things that could ever happen to you can turn to be one of the best things that ever happened to you, because God uses those circumstances to bring us to Himself. And in this lesson today is one of the most encouraging lessons of the series, because we see God and His plan. We see God and what He does, God and His relationship to us. And one of the most pretty pictures that God paints of His relationship, of how He deals with us. In the book of Exodus, in chapter 19, what is occurring is that God has led the children of Israel through out of Egypt by the plagues of Egypt. He has led them through the Red Sea and has caused the Red Sea to close up on Pharaoh and his army. And now they are outside of Mount Sinai, and God has called Moses up to the mountain. And as he's beginning to speak to him, he says a very important phrase. So notice with me in the book of Exodus in chapter number 19. Exodus 19, and notice with me in verse number 1. Exodus 19 in verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come down to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I have done unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark the phrase that God speaks about in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4? Exodus 19, verse 4, where it says, I bear you on eagle's wings. I bear you on eagle's wings. And the Sunday school lesson we're hitting today is that God bears us on eagle's wings. Now, God is going to make the same comparison a little bit later, and we're going to go to here. But this is the picture that God is painting, that as He's talking to the children of Israel, He's using this comparison that they would understand from nature, observing from nature. God is saying, I bore you on eagle's wings. Just like an eagle, so the Lord. That God says, I watched over you. I guided you. I have a purpose for this. I bore you on eagle's wings, just like an eagle did. And we'll explain that phrase in just a second. But I want you to know, towards the end of verse 4, the purpose of this. Notice verse 4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now, the goal of leading the people of Israel out of Egypt, the goal of leading them through the Red Sea, was not to bring them to a land. This is important. God was not bringing them to a place. He was bringing them to a person. He brought them through all these things to bring these people to Himself. That the circumstances, the things that occurred, the good times, the bads, the victories and the defeats, all of that was for the purpose of bringing those people to God's self, to bring them to Him. God is not trying to lead us to locations. He's trying to bring us to Himself. Some people will say, I'm glad that God brought us to this church. But more important than bringing you to a church, He's bringing you to Himself. He's bringing you to a place where you could learn of Him. The circumstances that go through your life, that when you go through of it, you're trusting God more. The purpose of it wasn't to bring you to a job or to this. It was to bring you to Himself. We have to recognize that it all begins with God. It all ends with God. God is the goal. And the things that God does is for the purpose of drawing us near to Him. If you look at the very best Christians who ever lived in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we would have to say almost without a doubt that it would be Moses of the Old Testament and Paul of the New Testament. And do you know at the height of both of their ministries, both of them had the same prayer request. So here at the height, when they're the closest to God, both of them both said the same thing, that I may know Him. Can you imagine? You go up to Paul and say, Paul, you've started 80-something churches. You've gone through all of these things. What is the desire of your life? What is the purpose? What do you want most of all? Paul said, that I may know Him. The book of Philippians, chapter 1. You go up to Moses. Moses, what do you desire most? What do you, out of all the things that just happened, you're 90-something years old. What do you desire the most out of your life? Exodus 33, that I may know Him. That I may know Him. Could you imagine going to the greatest Christian and them still saying, what do you want in your life? That I may know Him. That I may know Him. That's the whole purpose of the Christian life. The greatest victory is not what you accomplish, it's growing close to Him. To know Him. That's the purpose of why things happen. The good, the bad, and the ugly. That all things work together for good to them that love Him, to them that are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His firstborn Son. You know, why do all things happen? To draw us more to Christ, to make us more like Christ, so that we may know Him. That the things going on in your life right now, God is working to bring you to Himself. But God uses this expression here that He bears us on eagle's wings. This isn't the first time He uses this expression. Notice with me as He uses it again in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. And God once again uses this expression, and He's doing it to try to do a comparison so we would understand more about God. Notice with me Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. And it's from Deuteronomy 32 that we're going to understand a little bit more about what God is doing. Deuteronomy 32. So if you were in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So the fifth book in the Bible, Deuteronomy, the fifth book in the Bible, Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. And notice, if you don't mind, verse 11. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 11, it says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, and beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there were no strange God with him. If you're in the habit of marking things, I want you to mark two phrases, and then I want you to connect them, one in each one of these verses. Notice with me in verse 11, it says, as an eagle. And then in verse 12, it says, so the Lord. So underline both of those phrases and then connect them somehow. Because what God is doing, He says, just like an eagle, so the Lord. Just like an eagle, so the Lord. And so what God does in these two verses is what He's doing is He's using a picture from nature to describe to us what God is doing. Remember, the whole purpose is to bring us to Himself, but He's using a picture of an eagle and the eagle with its little eaglets and how God is doing the same thing to our life. And so the first thing I'd like to show you is as an eagle, so the Lord builds. As an eagle, so the Lord builds. For those of in nature who study eagles and study those birds of prey, they learn quite a bit about them. And of course, in the ancient world, eagles were quite common in the Palestine area. And so many people would understand these things of nature. And that one of the things you know that when an eagle is getting ready to have babies, something we know is that they go build nests. Now, what it does is high above the ground. The eagle finds cliffs, and they find trees on cliffs and mountains, and they find the perfect location which to nest. And then the greatest of care is taken to gather all the materials for the nest, that they build the nest and they make it comfortable. They get it to a place where they could be nurtured, a place where they can grow, where they could be born, where they have a little bit of protection. Well, so, as an eagle, so the Lord. God does that with us, is that God builds his people. The book of Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says the work that God has begun in us, he will continue against that day. He'll continue to do that work. That what God starts on you, he's going to finish in you. He builds the nest and he also builds us. He works on us. He gets the materials. And someday we're going to be like the Lord Jesus. But until that day, God is going to continue to work on us. He's going to continue to build. We have to allow him to do the building. As an eagle, so the Lord. He builds. He builds a nest. He builds something to protect us. He builds it up. He knows exactly how to do it. Isn't it amazing that a bird doesn't use blueprints? Half of the men in here, when you get a box, you first thing you do is throw away the instructions and you try to figure it out yourself, right? You know, that, or even with it, we need instructions. You know, otherwise you get parts that are extra and say, where did these go? You know, isn't it amazing how an eagle doesn't need instructions? Automatically knows how to build it. Amen. It knows what it's doing. It has instinct. But I know that comparisons break down after a while. But do you know that God knows exactly what he's doing? He doesn't have extra parts. He doesn't have anything. He knows exactly what's necessary to build us, to mold us, to make us, to put the things together so that we fit right. As an eagle, so the Lord. Notice with me back in verse 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest. The second thing that we see here is as an eagle, so the Lord, it breaks. So the Lord breaks. As it talks about stirring up the nest. People who study birds are fascinated with how eagles do this. They start off with a nest that is comfortable. What they'll do is they'll have the twigs and stuff. Then they'll get like fur and they'll soft things and they'll line it so that way the chicklets are comfortable. But what God will do is when the chicklets are getting ready to fly, they're going to need motivated to leave the nest. Otherwise, they wouldn't leave. So what he does is he starts to make the nest uncomfortable. He takes out some of the fur, takes out some of the cotton, takes out some of the soft things, and it makes it so the nest is uncomfortable. You say, is that mean? No, it's trying to help it. Otherwise, the eaglets would not leave the nest. They have to make it uncomfortable. And so you know what God does? Is that the Lord breaks. That sometimes, in order to change the future, we must stir up the present. In order to change the future, we have to stir up the present. That God, in order to change the path that we're going on, sometimes has to do something in our life to stir up the nest, to disrupt it, to make it uncomfortable, so we don't follow the same path. You understand, we always follow the path of least resistance. Hey, if there was no troubles in life, you know how weak and anemic we'd be in our Christian life? Because we'd have no reason to trust him. We would find comfort and we'd sit in that little niche and we'd be there forever, not growing. But God knows that in order to change our path, in order to change the future, we must stir up the present. And so there are times that God allows where you're at to be uncomfortable. He's not doing it to be mean. He's doing it to try to get you ready to change your direction, to get ready to fly, to get ready to trust the Lord, to be ready to leave the nest, to leave that comfort zone. God stretches us. That's part of the Christian life, is to be stretched out, to get to the place where we're uncomfortable. You know, comfort is the enemy of godliness. Comfort is the enemy of godliness. And God knows that and he stirs it. He makes the nest uncomfortable so that way we don't want to stay there. We want to leave that nest. We want to stop where we're at and try to leave where we're at. Now, again, we're not talking about a place. We're talking about a person. He wants us to be uncomfortable where we're at. So we have to go to him. So we have to run to him as an eagle. So the Lord, just like an eagle is doing this, God is using this natural illustration to show how he works in our life. Remember, he's dealing with the children of Israel. He said, I'm trying to get you uncomfortable, so you have to seek after me. I'm trying to get you uncomfortable so that way you could exercise faith on your own. As an eagle, so the Lord. Notice with me in verse 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young. Notice this. As an eagle, so the Lord broods. As an eagle, so the Lord broods. What God does is that as he makes the nest uncomfortable, an eagle, what would happen is that the eagle would begin to fly around the young ones. Now, the same time God is the eagle is watching the young ones. But have you ever seen an eagle fly? How majestic they are, how gorgeous they are, how regal they are. You could almost think of the chicklet's mind saying, wow, I'd like to do that. But you know, the whole time when the nest is uncomfortable, God is still there and he's watching. He's observing. Not necessarily in the nest, but he's watching. And we could look up to him and say, I want to be there. I want to be with him. I want to go over there. But the whole time, God is keeping track. He knows where you're at. He knows when circumstances are uncomfortable and I don't know what I'm going to do. And oh, this is something's got to change. Have you ever been to that place where you say, God, something's got to change? God starts making it uncomfortable. Doesn't mean that things are necessarily sinful or wrong. But you know that it's uncomfortable. It's things got to change. You know, if you could forgive the personal illustration, I remember when I was an assistant to the pastor, working alongside with my pastor in Phoenix, and I had come back from Bible college, went back to serve with my pastor, and we had plans, but God had different plans. And I remember God stirring up the nest. It was just uncomfortable. There was nothing sinful or wrong. Things were right with me and my pastor. It wasn't pride or something. I could tell God was moving me on. It just wasn't comfortable. It was just, you know, nothing wrong. He was just stirring it up. Sometimes God does allow some things to get wrong to make you uncomfortable where you're at. But the whole time, God is watching. You may not understand and say, oh, this is, I don't know what's going on. How am I going to get out of this? This is, what's going on? The whole time, that eagle is watching the little chicklets. It's flying above. And if we would just look up and say, hey, I'm on the ground. I'm in this nest and it's uncomfortable. But look, it's flying. It's flying. That we look and there's something else out there. There's something better out there. As an eagle, so the Lord broods. So we could see the Lord, he builds. What he does is he also breaks. He broods. But notice this in verse number 11. And as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttering over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings and taketh them, beareth them on her wings. As an eagle, so the Lord. You know what? Eaglets are born to fly. They're not meant to crawl. They're not meant to walk. Eagles are meant to fly. And so what happens is the nest is now uncomfortable. And they've been watching the mama fly around and they said, I want to try that. So imagine in your little mind, a little eaglet chicklet finally gets up on the edge of the nest and looks down high above. Again, eagles build way high. And so you could see the little chicklet. I'm going to fly like mama. So it gets its wings and it starts going. You can almost say, hey, look, mama, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Oh, no. Oh, no. And what happens is that little eaglet begins to fall and fall and fall. But an amazing thing in nature is that eagle mama will dive down and fly underneath her young. And catch it. And then that eaglet just holds on to mama's wings as mama soars and flies. As an eagle, so the Lord bears us on eagle's wings. Twice that phrase is used in Exodus and then here. You know what God does is that when we get to the place where we step off and we're going to try to live by faith. Oh, no. And then God takes us and catches us and bears us on eagle's wings. And he flies. And we get to fly on the back of the eagle. Fly on there until we finally learn to do it ourselves and to live by faith ourselves. But you know what? Every time we step up by faith and it doesn't seem to work, God is always there. You know what's wrong with failing in God's will? What's wrong with taking a step out and saying, I don't know, I believe this is what the Lord's going to do and I'm going to step out. You know, so many people are afraid to get out of the nest and try. You know, God's got a great life for us, but we have to exercise the wings. But the good news is that even if we're not strong enough yet, oh, he'll catch us. Dive down. It's amazing how the people watch time and time again. Those little eaglets fall and the eagles will catch them every time. Can you imagine soaring on mama's back after that? Flying around majestically, just holding on. So the eagle, or as the eagle, so the Lord. He bears us on eagle's wings. He bears us. You know, as God's children, we are safe in Jesus Christ. We can only fall so far before we land on his wings. God will always see us through. This is how he works. He bears us on eagle's wings once again to bring us to himself. God is using this illustration with the children of Israel twice. And he's explaining to them how God watches and he does everything. He builds up. And then what he does is when it's time, he'll destroy, he'll stir up that nest. So that way we'll be forced to step up by faith. And guess what? He's watching us the whole time with those eagle eyes. And then when we step out and it doesn't quite work out the way we think, he's there to catch us and to soar high. And you know what's going to happen is that chicklet is going to try again sometime. And it's going to try again until it finally flies. And it learns by trusting the eagle, looking into it. God is saying, I've got you. I've got you. I've got plans for you. And it's not always going to be a bed of roses. I'm going to stir things up so that way you want to leave the nest. You want to step out by faith. I'm stirring things up so that way you have to step out. You have to trust. It's not a bad thing. Doesn't mean that you're failing. It just means you're graduating up. I was talking with someone not too long ago, and they were doing well in their Christian life, growing, growing, growing. And all of a sudden, something disrupts, and they go, am I backslidden? Is something going? No, 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 no. You just graduated kindergarten. Now you're going to first grade. And here's your test. Are you going to look up to the Lord, or are you going to say, I quit? And they looked up to the Lord, and they went to first grade now. Yep, learning to fly. But God, the whole time, is going to, if you fall, and then be caught. Isn't that just a beautiful thing to go down and just to imagine that eagle soaring down and catching that little eaglet? As the eagle, so the Lord. That you may have some things in your life that he may be building. Allow him to build. You may be at the place right now where God is stirring up the present in order to change the past. Realize that God has got a plan for it. He's working. This is part of his purpose. It doesn't mean necessarily something's wrong. It means he's trying to make it so you have to step up by faith. And the whole time, God is watching. He's watching and observing. And when you step up by faith, even if something happens that was unexpected, he's going to catch you. And he's going to bear you on eagle's wings. Oh, what a wonderful thing. As the eagle, so the Lord. The whole purpose of it is to draw us to himself. To bring us to himself. To see that the God is worthy. To see that the Lord does care. That he doesn't abandon you. He doesn't leave you. He's watching you the whole time. As the eagle, so the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.